live. Good morning, C3 Dallas. How are you guys doing? This is a happening place here. You're all alive and on fire, and I think you could just lead every week, Pastor Nancy. You're so full of fun and mischief and the Spirit of God all rolled up in one. And that's a great combination. Who thinks that's a great combination, right? Absolutely. Hey, it's our privilege to be with you this morning. If we haven't met you, you've met my dynamic wife, and you met our kids. Well, you didn't meet them, but you saw them in one of their better moments, all smiling and not punching each other. You know, I don't know how many of your parents have the photo shoot, and it takes about 30 minutes to get three good shots because there's elbows and punches, and that's our family pretty much. But anyway, that's life. We love our kids. We love your pastors, Pastor Joe and Nancy. As Danielle was saying, we met about 5 years ago, and they were kind of meeting some of the people in the C3 tribe that we're part of. And we just love them instantly. They've got such a great together, a real warmth about them, a passion for God, a love for people. There's a real authenticity and genuineness about them. And so you're in a great church. You're in a safe place. Sometimes I meet pastors who sort of, when you meet them, they're like, I'm not really happy about this that's happening. I'm not happy about that person or this thing or whatever. I know some pastors can be like that. But we've been with your Pastor Nancy here for the last 24 hours plus, and she just keeps raving about you all, how amazing you all are, how incredible the church is, how wonderful the team is, all these beautiful people. So can you put your hands together for your pastors, Joe and Nancy? They're the real deal. They're the real deal. It's great to see Rob and Ginger Carmen here. Rob's preached in our church a couple of times, and we love these guys. They travel around the world, and you know, there's probably about at least 7 broken ribs in our church and guys that Rob's hit along the way. You know, he's got that punching anointing and dislocated shoulders, and you just got to have the healing ministry come straight through after Rob because he's belted everybody up. No, I love it. He spoke at our men's conference this year. And great people, and obviously a blessing to you and a blessing to us as a movement. While we're getting to know each other, I'll just tell you a few little things about us. My background before becoming a pastor, and along as being a pastor, I've been in business for years. I had a degree in commerce or business, accounting and marketing. We've started and sold a number of businesses. I've had one now for almost 25 years in where we're manufacturing and construction and the construction chemical industry. I've learned so much about how God moves and faith through business and seeing God just come through in impossible circumstances and seeing his blessing flow. And so I keep having that. So that's kind of my deal. We've been, Danielle's a trained midwife. So she was a nurse and then she went on and became a trained midwife. I like to tell people she has a deliverance ministry. So you guys are laughing a lot better than the first guys who are in here. We're already away, right? Is there a better sense of humor at the second service? Is that what happens? That's what I'm hearing. Okay, all right, that's right. So for years, as Danielle was a midwife and then became a pastor, and so she was like, will I keep being a midwife? Will I be a pastor? Will I do the both? Will I do both of them? It was a real conundrum for her. I like to say that she had a midwife crisis. Oh, come on, that's actually really bad. These are the moments that my kids cringe at and say you should never say those jokes, Dad. It's terrible. But that's the job of every dad, right? To tell really bad jokes to embarrass their children. And secretly, they love it, don't they, dads? Secretly, deep down, maybe possibly. Okay. Our passion is church. We took over our church in 2000, and it was a smaller church that we really kind of injected our flavor and passion, and really, which is to see people come to Christ, people who don't have a relationship with God, meet a God that maybe has been misrepresented to them. Maybe they haven't really, this is my thing. If you've never really heard about how awesome God is, if you've not seen and experienced how wonderful God is, then our role as the church is to connect people to God, to be his living hands and feet, his voice. And so we love seeing people come to Christ every year. There's 300-400 people in our church would come to Christ, make a first-time decision. In Australia, only about 4 or 5% of the population actually go to church. We're a very secular country, and so we work really hard to help people connect with Him. So that's our passion, seeing lives transform. I felt like the Lord gave me a few things. Like whenever I visit a church, I come with a sense of an assignment from God. Not just to preach another message, but what's God wanting to use us to do to add to what God's obviously already doing in your church? And Danielle and I, we get to travel around and see churches, particularly in Australia. We're on the global board for C3. We're meeting this week with Pastor Phil and Chris, who send their love, and four or five of the other couples, Jürgen and Leanne, who are part of this. And we oversee C3 Australia, 110 churches in Australia. So we travel around a bit, see different churches. And so I always pray, God, what are you wanting to do? What's our assignment? And last night, as I was in prayer and just waiting on God, I felt like He said, one of the things I want you to do is to pray for people to believe God for them to get their own house. And so that's what I'm going to start with this morning. If you're like, you know, not just like if you're, oh, maybe, should I, wouldn't it be? But if you're like, no, I really want to own my own house. I want to buy land. Can I just tell you that there's something spiritually significant about land? Don't just think land's a natural thing that's not spiritually significant. It is significant. The promise of God to Abraham was that I will give you land, physical land. And there was war, all sorts of things happened. The process of getting land will do a couple of things in your heart as a believer, okay? It'll do a few things. One, it'll put stability and security. When you get your own place, your own land, your own house, it gives you a security and a stability. Husbands, it's a great thing for your wives, for you to own a house so that you're not like a landlord, you know, kicking you out every 12 months or whatever. There's something about the stability of owning your own house. But also you'll find that the battle to get that land, because there is always a battle to get land because it is spiritual, but the battle to get that land will do something inside of you that will prepare you for more significant spiritual battles that you'll fight in the future. I've found that for us, and we've owned a number of different properties over time and houses, that there's always been a bit of a miracle attached to every particular one. The first house we got, the real estate agent said, if you get this house, it'll be a minor miracle, her words, not a Christian, but if you get this house, it'll be a major miracle. Guess which house we got? The major miracle. Now, that was after a period of believing God, fighting and hanging on to promises that God had given us. And again and again, there is a supernatural element that I want to release to some people this morning. The second house we got, the Lord gave us a scripture and said, I remember praying one day saying, Lord, do you want, I'd love to get a nicer place for this. I'd love a pool. I'd love more room to move. We were near a major street, a major drive, a lot of traffic. We'd like to move, is that, you know, and I wrote down about six or seven things on a list. If it would be okay with you, God, can we get a different, nicer house? The next morning I got up and I'm reading my Bible, and I read this verse that goes straight to my heart, and it said this, and I will lead you to your desired haven. And it was like heaven. I love it when God answers that quickly. He doesn't always answer that quickly, but I love it when He answers that quickly. And so we went on this journey, and we came to a point where we needed this house, and Danielle's mom was going to move in and live with us for a season. My mother-in-law lived with us for 7 years. Oh, there's an extra mansion in heaven for me just for that. Just for that, all right. If your mother-in-law ever moves in with you, let me give you a little tip. Put a lock on both sides of the doors, okay? Just a tip. Anyway, just don't go there right now. And so, okay, so we need this house. We need what we call a granny flat in Australia. You call it a granny flat here? No, you don't call it that. That's where the granny, anyway, okay. So this extra place attached. And the first day we go to look, that we've decided to go, we've sold our house. The first day we've decided to look, remember the scripture is, I will guide you to your desired haven. A lady in the church rings up and she says, Pastor, do you want to know where your house is? And I'm going, sure, I want to know. She says, I've seen it in a vision. And she described a place that was in an area that we weren't even looking at. But it was, and I'd seen the ad for this house. She didn't know. She hadn't seen it. I'd seen the ad for this house in the newspaper. It was a really bad ad. It was like hidden from everybody else. We went straight there. We looked at it. We walked in. It was like, this is the desired haven that you've got for us. This beautiful property, trees, on half an acre of land. It was just gorgeous for us with this beautiful granny flat for Danielle's mom. And I knew that God had led us to that because God cares about the things like land, like houses, because it's just part of his love for you. If you're his child, he wants to bless you. So saying all of that, and I can tell you more stories of investment properties and houses God's given us, I just want to release faith for your own house, if that's you. So if that's you, why don't you stand up in your seat right now? So that's me. I need a release of faith for property. I need a release of faith for my own house. In the first service, a young man came up to me. He said, I keep having dreams of buying a house, and God's speaking to me about it. And so I'm going to release that faith. Father, right now, look to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven, every person. Father, right now, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in this room right now. And I thank you that there is an anointing to create wealth. It comes from you. Lord, there is a promise of land that comes from you to Abraham, and it travels down through every generation of faith to those of us in this room today who are sons and daughters of Abraham and sons and daughters of faith. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus, open doors, supernaturally open doors. Supernaturally, do what no man can do. Cancel debt. Give favor. Lord, let there be loans where there shouldn't be loans. Let there be deals that shouldn't be done. God, let family members extend favor towards people in this room. I'm asking by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would work miracle after miracle after miracle for the people in this room right now. Right now, God, as they put your house first, you put their house first. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. The message that I'm going to share, you can go, team, you've done real good. I'm going to get you back at the end of the service. Apparently, there's not another service after this, so they've told me this is like a three-hour service. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. Some of you are like, now, don't do that. I've got a roast in the oven right now. Don't mess with me. That was a really bad American impersonation, but you know, if I just say y'all, I know, then I'm all right at home here. We're loving Texas, aren't we? You guys are so friendly, by the way, just so friendly. So this is going to make sense for you, this message, for those of you who are, the house thing is for you. I actually felt like, and I shared it in the first service, and I want to share it in the second service here, because I felt like God showed me some stuff last night for your church about the season and the timing of God for your church right now. You've just come off the back of Presence, right? You've had your Presence conference. You had the comedian pastor who is Jürgen Matesius, the one and only. Isn't he awesome? He is a great preacher. I feel like I've gone to the movies every time I watch Jürgen. But he has the word of God deep in him. He's awesome. And so you're loaded and you're ready for something. And this is what I feel like. I felt like the Lord said, behold, the former things have come to pass. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And the sense I got, I could see like these two wheels with an open kind of window thing that's kind of going around. And it's just coming to a moment where there is going to be a divine Kairos moment for your church. I felt like even as I was waiting on God in this sense, it was like that you are coming again to the edge of a promised land for this church, to the edge of things that for Pastor Joe and Nancy that God had put into their spirit and put into their heart, and that there was something that you'd almost, it's like you've been here before, but didn't enter fully into what they'd seen and what God's got for you. And so it's like with the children of Israel, they came to the edge of their promised land, and the opportunity to take their promised land was there, but because of a whole range of different things, their negativity, their grumbling, the attitude of their heart that they developed over many years, stopped them going into their promised land. It's a scary thought, this Kairos moment, because the next day, after they sort of said, no, we're not going to go there, it's too hard, the next day they changed their mind. Oh, we are going to go there, but their Kairos moment had moved. And God said, no, you missed it because your response wasn't a response of faith. It wasn't a response of boldness. It was a response of negativity and believing a poor report. They missed it. And then they went around in the wilderness for another 40 years until the interlocking of God's timing and opportunity came again. And I believe that there are certain things and certain moments in our life that if we don't develop a culture in our heart and an attitude in our heart of, yes, Lord, God, we can do this. God, you say it. We're gonna move into it. If we're not careful, we can miss Kairos moments. I believe for this church, you're right there again in what is a fresh moment for your church. I actually believe that some who were at that last Kairos moment, they've kind of died in the wilderness and they've missed this season. But God, there's a sense of unity in this house. There's a sense of alignment together for the vision of this house to move into the future. And that's why this moment's coming again. I feel like you're uniquely positioned as a church to do some things. Okay, and I'm not the leader, so it's not my job to talk about what the things are. That's Pastor Joe. He'll be bringing that to you, I'm sure, and continually bringing that to you. But you're uniquely positioned as a church to step into your future. I believe the picture I got is of this location, this beautiful facility that there's excellence all over this church. I love the sense of excellence that's here. But I could see this facility as a hub. And out of this hub, I could just see a range of spokes in a wheel coming out of this place, affecting right across the city of Dallas. And there's a sense that there's an apostolic hub that's been built right here for such a time as this, for what God is going to put into your pastor's heart as you prepare to step into the future. And all you've got to do as a member of the house is to go, here we go, we're ready. Joshua, you take us into the promised land. It'll open up before us. It'll make sense as we go rather than it'll make sense before we go. If you're waiting for God in any area of your life that God's going to take you on, if you're waiting for God to make it all make sense before you'll go, then you'll never go. You'll miss out on what he's got for you. And so I want to kind of speak into that this morning, because the sense I have is as much as your church is positioned to move into your promised land, I believe that individuals in this house are positioned to move into your promised land. And I've always found it works like this. This is the way, as a pastor now 17 years, I've always found it works like this. When you're planted in the house of God, and your vision is that, you know, because we've got to be connected to a vision greater than ourselves. If your vision is just that your world will do well, I'll get my own house, my kids will be happy, I'll have a great career, I'll be able to have that holiday in Hawaii, whatever it is. Is that where you go for holidays from here, Hawaii? No, yeah, okay, there's two people go there. Okay, whatever it is. If your vision encapsulates just your world, it's too small. And in fact, you'll spend your life trying to make your own vision for you come to pass, but you'll miss out really on what is God's vision for you. And God's vision is found like this. If you lay down your life, then you'll truly find it. If you're living we have what we call the Australian dream, so which is the white picket fence and your own house and the 2.5 kids and the double garage, etc. If you're living for the American version of that, the American dream, can I tell you that will ultimately be dissatisfying? That will ultimately not be fulfilling if it's all about you. But if you discover that God's got a greater purpose than your happiness, then in the going after God's greater purpose, you'll discover that all of these things get added to you and they end up just being a bonus rather than the main thing. And you'll find yourself surrounded with a whole lot of people whose vision is about this small for their own life, and they're living and wondering why I spent my life climbing to the top of the ladder, and then when I got to the top of the ladder, I looked around and I realized it was small. It was unfulfilling. And so when you get the kingdom of God mindset, you're like, well, what's God's vision? God's vision is the church. God's vision is the church becomes strong and a vehicle for the kingdom of God to flow through the house of God, through his church, to reach the world. That's a way bigger dream. So when you start to attach your life to the house of God, the purpose of building his church, you'll find the small dreams, and I'm calling them small, but the personal dreams, they will get exceeded because you hitched your wagon to the vision of God, and all of those things will flow. That means you learn to live a life of sacrifice, of laying down, of sowing into something, and it doesn't make sense. But then all of a sudden, you're sowing, you're doing all that, and then God comes along and he goes, oh, beautiful, you've been looking after my house, bam, I'm going to look after your house. I'm going to do something radical. I'm going to do something crazy over here. That has been our story time and time again. We've made our lives about building the house of God, about blessing people and reaching lost people. And God just keeps coming up and blessing us. It's like you can't outdo God. If you're focused on you, you'll never find it being ultimately fulfilling. But if you lift your vision, I feel like I'm speaking into a whole lot of people right now. If you lift your vision up, this is what we've always found. God doesn't fulfill your dreams. He exceeds your dreams. His dreams are way bigger than your dreams. Some of you today need to get a bigger dream, and the bigger dream is for the house of God. And all that's coming to this, my goodness, this is an exciting church to be part of for the sense of what God's got coming for you over these next 10 years. Strap your seatbelt on, get ready, say, I'm in, whatever I can do, I'm in, we're going somewhere, church, and it's exciting. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, so I'm preaching. Now, when do I finish? Just help me out again, Ben. 12:30. Thank you, sir. Very, very good. Give Ben a big hand. He's a great chief of staff in the house. So I want to talk about, okay, taking a step. All right, it's really a simple thought. It's not like a deep message with multiple points. It's a simple thought. And my prayer is that as I'm preaching, that the Holy Spirit's going to preach 300 different sermons as I'm opening up the atmosphere for what it is for you that God is encouraging you to do to take a step. See, when the children of Israel got to the edge of their promised land and they'd been there before and their Kairos moment comes again and they're getting ready to go, they've now got a different leader. They've moved from Moses to Joshua. And if they were not careful, they would think, okay, Joshua, here's a big body of water. We know how to get through a big body of water. You pull out the rod. You hold up the rod over the water, it opens up, and we all walk through because that's what God did last time we encountered a big body of water. And if they're all looking like, okay, that's the way. I mean, if you could define the church, that's how the church generally tends to be. What God did 40 years ago is what God must still be going to do today. But God gets bored. I mean, he likes new songs, the Bible says. He likes new days. He created every day. His mercies are new. God's into new things. So just when you think you've got God worked out and into a little box, it needs to be like this. He's like, no. I'm bored with that. I want something new. I want something different. I'm going to do it continually new. Just when you think that God's going to fix the wedding by just, you know, everybody having some wine rock up over here because he sent someone to get the wine. Jesus just gets water and he turns it into wine. He's just always doing something new. So you got to be prepared that sometimes your new day and your promised land doesn't look like what your old day looked like. You got saved a certain way, but that doesn't mean that's the way that God's going to save your neighbor. He's got something totally different for your neighbor, your child, the people around your life. And so Joshua comes along and he says, this is the way we're going to do it. God speaks to him. He says, the priests are going to get the ark, the presence of God on their shoulder, and they're going to step out. And as they go, the water's going to open up. And I can see some of them just there going, nah, that's not going to work. Where's the rod, dude? Can you just go and track down the rod? Because that's what's really going to open it up. But no, God's spoken to Joshua. There's something new. And can I encourage you, whenever God's going to do something new in terms of the body of Christ and the church, it's always different to what it once was. So don't ever be one of those people going, nah, pastor, nah, we've never done that. That should be the express. Awesome. We've never done that. That should be the attitude of every church member. Oh, we've never done this. In Joshua, in the NLT, just so you know, I do use the Bible, guys, because I refer to the Bible, but there is a verse, and I'm going to take you to that verse right now. All right, and it says this in Joshua 3, verse 3, giving these instructions to the people, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. C3 Trinity Dallas, since you have never traveled this way before where God's about to take you, trust that the presence of God on the shoulders of your leaders are going to lead you into a new day that will cause blessing to flow into your personal world. But for this church, there's something new coming. So here's the thing. If there's something new that God's going to do in your life, more often than not, it will require you taking a step that you've never taken. You doing something that you've never done before. You stepping out of your comfort zone to see God move in your life. Over a number of years, we've had this sense for Danielle and I, for our church, that God wants us to move in healing. You go, dull, that's in the Bible. Of course, that's what he wants you to do. But we have a particular sense that there's an assignment for us and our church to break open the realm of both healing and deliverance, for people to get set free, for the power of God to flow in their lives, not just through our church, but really to help other churches open that territory up and open up that realm. And so we've seen God do some awesome things in the realm of healing over the years. And anyway, at the beginning of last year, I just really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to make room in every service for us, okay? So I'm not telling anyone how to do church. It's just for us, the word of the Lord came and said, make room in every service, and I want you in every service. We always, you know, in church, we like you, we always worship. Will we worship today or not? We always worship. We always open up the Bible and preach. It's not like before we come to church, Lord, do you want us to preach today or not? We always do. There's always an opportunity for people to bring their tithes to God so that blessing can flow to him and the house of God can be built. We always have a moment at the end of the service for anyone who doesn't have a relationship with God to begin a relationship with God. And we'll do that at the end here today. If you're not in a personal connection with God that will change your life, then you can pray a prayer today and shift your heart today, and it will open up your world to all the possibilities God has for you as you invite him into your heart. So I don't have to pray, will I or won't I have that opportunity? We do it every service. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you in your church every service to pray for someone who's sick. So not like, will I or won't I, but just to predetermine that is going to be a decision. That would be a step that we would take that would take us into a dimension of our promised land. And so we began to do it, and it's been quite remarkable. We've been doing that now for over 12 months, and I would say most weeks someone gets healed, usually immediately, of some kind of pain, affliction, or sickness. I'll just tell you a couple of those stories because I'm going to pray for people who are sick at the end of the service. It's one of the things I feel God wants me to do. But I remember, you know, one particular lady who for 20 years ago at her childbirth had an epidural and something happened and she got a chronic pain in the middle of her head. Is that how you do? Danielle's the nurse, so I'm not very medical. Is that how we describe it? Okay, we'll go with that. Chronic pain in the middle, in her head. The doctors couldn't work out what it was. She had bone, what do you call it, baby? Bone, where they pull out the stems and check it all out. She had lumbar punctures. She had all this different stuff, and they could not work it out. She was on constantly on pain medication that wasn't touching the pain for 20 years. And so we're in a service just like this one day, and I've already predetermined that I'm going to take the step. This is where God is. I'm going to take the step. And so I say, there's someone here. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, okay, it's got pain in her head. Would you pray for them? We prayed for her. Rebuke the enemy, because often, but not always, pain and sickness comes from the devil directly. It can come from the devil indirectly because of the fallen world and it's just sickness, but sometimes there's literally a demon attached to a person causing pain and sickness. So we just felt we broke that, went after that, and immediately the pain left. And the pain's gone ever since that moment. It's just that would be one of the Sundays, okay? There's another Sunday, this is one of my favorites. There's a lady in our church who's about 70 years old. Her name's Pip. Okay, and Pip hasn't got her own children. She's always looked after children. She's been like a nanny. Do we call a nanny the word here? Yeah? Just help me out. Okay, nanny. Okay, she's been a nanny. And so 20 years ago, as a nanny, she was looking after this little baby and someone had just cleaned the floors. She slipped up, and as she fell, she's protecting the baby. She slammed her hip on the bathroom bench, on the corner of the bathroom bench, and then landed on this other hip protecting the baby, smashed her hips. And so for 20 years, Pip's hips have been in pain. Okay, it's not a joke, Pip's hips, but it's kind of. Anyway, so she's been in pain. She said she can't turn over in bed without being in pain. She can't walk without being in pain. Again, on medication, it's not touching it, but she's got this pain. So I'm in church one day, predetermined that I'm going to keep taking this step because that's how God opens new doors. You just keep taking steps. All right, whatever it looks like, whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you about, some of you it's about buying a house, some of you it's about starting a group in church, a connect group or a ministry group, some of you it's about serving on a team, some of you it's about fasting, some of you it's about generosity, some of you it's about starting a business, some of you it's about closing a business, but God's speaking to you about what your step is that's going to take you into your promised land. And so I'm there just doing that, and I felt the Lord say, oh, there's someone here who's got pain in their hip. So I called up, Pip comes up the front, we're there, I pray for her, hold her hand, and the power of God begins to touch her. And I'm like, how's that feeling? She goes, my hips are feeling hot. I go, awesome. Now we have this thing in Australia and New Zealand called Denka Rub, like a deep heat that you rub in, and it gets really hot in whatever, there's pain, and that's part of the thing. And she goes, it feels like someone's put Denka Rub or deep heat on my hips. And then I go, okay, well, that's awesome. And she goes back to her seat, because often the power of God feels like heat. That's often a sign God's bringing healing in somebody's body. It will feel like heat, or it'll feel like, I like to call it, like liquid ice just flowing through. All sorts of different things will bring healing. And it's not the feeling that brings healing. It's the power of God that brings healing. It can just, sometimes it feels like nothing and healing comes. Anyway, I go and see her after church. I said, Pip, how's your hips? And she's there. She goes, Pastor, they're hot. My hips are really hot. She goes, you should touch them and feel it. I'm like, I cannot touch your hips. This would be a really bad look in church if the pastor's touching your hips. Anyway, she said she went home. So now we've got Pip's hot hips. It's the miracle of Pip's hot hips. And so now she goes home. And at 5 o'clock that night, the heat leaves. And she was disappointed. The heat's gone. What is it? But then she realized, when the heat went, the pain went. And after 20 years, so this lady has lived with constant pain. After 20 years, she like can hardly believe it. I don't know if you've ever had a miracle like that. You're like, is this really happening? What's going on? Next morning, bounces out of bed. She starts running. This lady is so filled with joy because of the freedom that she's now got. I'm just telling you these stories. One, because I know God wants to bring some healing into people in this house today. But two, that freedom for her is at the end of my taking a step that God put in my heart for me to move into a promised land. And you'll find that God's got things for you to do that's your step. It's not my step, it's your step. But in your step of obedience, there's a miracle the other side. And here's the thing. Sometimes what looks like your miracle is just the beginning of an open door for somebody else's miracle. There's some pips in your life, and it might not be healing, but it might be getting set free from the pain that they've grown up with on the inside. And you're taking a step, and you're sharing your story, or you're starting that ministry, or you moving into is going to actually flow into their life. You'll find, this is interesting, but I found with our houses, that so often, I'm going to get the band to come up because I'm going to move into praying pretty quickly. But I found so often when we've had to fight for something, that it's always more about than just the thing we're fighting for. It's about the ongoing flow. When David's beating lions and bears that are eating the sheep that he's protecting, and it looks like it doesn't, well, what's one sheep? In the whole deer, what's one sheep? You know, take a sheep. It's all good. I'll just not fight the bear. But what he doesn't realize is that the faith that's building in him through fighting a bear and fighting against a lion, one day God is going to use against a Goliath. One day a whole nation is going to get set free because he's fighting some battles that are just the next step in front of him. And I'm wondering in this room today, what battle God's got you facing right now, and the pressure of it doesn't seem to match up with in terms of the significance of what this looks like for you. You're wondering, why is it such a big deal for me to break through in this area? Why is it such a big, why is there so much pressure associated with me beginning to serve on a team in church? I feel so much intimidation. I feel so much opposition. Why do I feel so worried about that? Well, maybe, just maybe, the other side of that is not just your freedom, but it's what's going to flow to generations of people, because you just do something afraid out of your comfort zone and God begins to flow. Can we close our eyes across this room right now? Holy Spirit, I sense the divine timing of God for this house. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. We make room for you. I want to make room for God right now, because I believe the Holy Spirit, He's the best preacher. And right through this room, He's speaking to people. Some of you, there's a person here, and God's been telling you to give something significant to somebody else. And you've been wrestling with it. But the challenge is that the not taking that step, just it's like that's becomes the dead end for you. I feel like God's been talking to someone about giving somebody else $10,000. And you're like, wrestling with it. You're like, but it's not actually about the $10,000. It's about the obedience. Don't normally say that. But I know the Holy Spirit's talking to people. There's other people in this room. You're going to get asked to step up into, some of you, it's in work. I see promotion coming for some people. And the hand of God's upon you. It's like the favor of God's, like the favor of God was on Joseph, the favor of God's on you. And that promotion's going to keep coming your way, and those ones that you work for are going to get blessed. It's going to be a sign of the glory of God that shines on you, and it shines to your employer. Spirit of God, you're moving in this room. Right now, the Holy Spirit's talking to so many people. So many people. What's your next step? You've probably never been there before. You've probably never done it before. But there's blessing the other side. Maybe for you it's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. There's this experience in God that's going to fill you with boldness. It's going to tap you into the prophetic. It's going to give you the gift of tongues and the language of heaven that will give you insight and blessing. Maybe that's the thing that God's got for you. You're like, oh, I'll wait till the conditions are perfect and then I'll go. No. Go. Work it out as you go with God. There is healing in this room. The atmosphere of God's in this place for healing, supernatural power. Before I pray for people for healing, if you're here this morning and you've never actually begun a relationship with God, you believe God's real. You go to church even. Maybe you don't normally, but you find yourself here today or over the last few weeks. But in your heart, you're not connected to God. In your mind, you believe He's real. But in your heart, you're not connected to Him. You can know about God without knowing God. When you know God, He talks to you. Not with an audible voice, but He talks to you through His Word, through preaching, a still small voice on the inside. God talks to you. He guides you. He encourages you. He helps you. He leads you. You're created for that kind of relationship. You'll never be truly satisfied until you have that relationship with God. The space in your heart will never be filled until you have that relationship with God. And this morning, I'd love to pray for anyone in this room who's not right with God, who's away from God maybe, or who's never submitted your life to Him. Bible says all of us have turned away from God and gone our own way. We've gone astray like sheep. To become a Christian is not just about going to church. It's about a decision in our heart where we say, instead of doing life my way, I'm going to do life God's way. I'm turning to God. I'm repenting for my sin. I'm receiving the forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're saying, John, I don't have a relationship in my heart with God. It's not real. Or I once had that relationship, but I've slipped away from God. I'm not right with God today. I need to come back to Him. In a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Or you're just not sure if you're going to go to heaven when you die. You hope you are, but in your heart you're not confident. I would love to lead you in a prayer this morning that just makes you absolutely certain that you're right with God. The most important thing that could ever happen in your life for you to get right with God. So right across this room, across the floor, across the back, up the top, if this is you, if you're saying, I want a relationship with God in my heart, or I want to come back to Christ because I've slipped away from Him. He was once number one, but He's not number one in my life anymore, and I'm coming back to Him today. Or I want to be sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Right now, if that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you over here. That's awesome. Who else right now? Thanks over here. That's awesome. Who else right now? Thank you, sir. Both your hands. That's awesome. Who else right now? You're saying, that's me today. Thank you. Just right in the third row from the back. I see your hands. That's awesome. Who else right now? You're saying, this is me. I want God. Something's missing. Something's missing. There's someone here this morning, and the thought that's been going around in your mind over and over is, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? And you can be trying to find your purpose, but the reality is you'll never discover your purpose until you create the one who made you. He's the one who created you for a purpose. You won't discover your purpose until you discover your Creator. Then as you get to know Him, He'll infuse your life with purpose. Suddenly, you'll stop just going around in circles, drifting without any purpose. Today could be the day where you get your life on track with just a simple prayer, a simple step towards God. If that's you and you haven't raised your hand yet, would you raise your hand and say, that's me, John. Thanks, mate. I see your hand right up the top there. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? God's drawing on your heart right now to get right with Him. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Up the back, up the top there. I see your hand as well. That's awesome. Is there anyone else? God's pulling on your heart right now. I feel like there's a man in the room. God's talking to you. Humble yourself today. Get right with Him today. As you do that, here's the thing. If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. If we try and exalt ourselves, God will humble us. Don't be in that whatever it takes where God's got to keep humbling for you until you take the step to get right with Him. Take the step today. Get right with God. Who's that person? Last moment. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? God's tugging at your heart right now. Thank you. See your hand. Fantastic, fantastic. All right, this is what I'm going to do. Awesome, man. This is what we're going to do. We pray for people up the front here, right, when we make a decision like this. So this is what I'd love to do. I would love to lead each person, if you've raised your hand, in a prayer. And this is the way we're going to do it. In a moment, we're going to stand. And as we stand, I'd love you just to make your way down the front. And I want to pray for you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this will be a bold moment where God will move in your life as you move, take a step towards Him. The Bible says it like this. If you take a step towards God, God will take a step towards you. Draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. So every person, I don't want anyone to miss out. If you raised your hand, even if you've done this before, but God was talking to you, then I'm going to ask as we stand for you to come down the front. Can we do that together? Stand on our feet. Make your way down from up the top. Make your way down the stairs. Come through here. Can we put our hands together, church? Come on. So good. So good. So good. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on down here. Right from up the top. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Awesome. Those, everyone who raised your hand, come out the front here. Hey, go, man. I'm John. What's your name?
Hi, I'm York.
York, nice to meet you. Hello. How you going? What's your name?
Rodren.
Hey, how you going? Good to see you. Hello. God bless you. God bless you. This is so good. Hello. How are you going? How are you going today? I'm John. Nice to meet you. Welcome. Hello. How are you going? Hi. How are you going? I know you. Okay. This is awesome. Awesome. Hi. How are you going? Have we got everybody? Have we got everybody? There was a gentleman you raised your hand before. I'm looking for the gentleman you raised your hand before. I want you to come out the front. There's something powerful in this moment that happens. And just turn to your neighbor and go, if you go, I'll go. Just, you know, I'll go down the front with you, because sometimes we need someone to come with us down the front. Just turn to your neighbor. If you go, I'll come with you. Come on. I'm not seeing a lot of heads turn. Come on. Turn to your neighbor. If you go, I'll go. Come on. Come on, man. There was someone here and you raised your hand. There was a gentleman here. I want to pray for you. Come on. Come on. Put your hands together one more time, because someone's going to come right now. Yeah. Come on. Come on, buddy. Yeah, sir, with the glasses. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Fantastic. Come on, keep clapping right now. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Good on you, mate. I'm John. What's your name? Christopher. So proud of you, Christopher. Fantastic. How you going, man?
Bradley.
Hey, sweetheart. How you going? You going good? Awesome. All right, guys. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to give you the words, okay? But I want you to say the words yourself to God from your heart. So if we close our eyes, the whole church is going to pray this with you. So say these words after me, but you're saying them to God. Dear God in heaven, I thank you that you love me, that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross in my place for my sin. I'm sorry for living my way. I'm turning to you today to live your way. I thank you through the blood of Jesus that I am forgiven, that I am cleansed. I renounce the devil and all his works. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and the power of God. I thank you today that I'm forgiven, that I'm going to heaven, that I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, I'm praying right now that the love of heaven will pour through every person here. God, I'm praying that the peace that's beyond our understanding will fill each person. Lord, I'm praying that the purpose that you have will become clear and apparent. That these ones will be planted in your house, loving you. Bless them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Be with them every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.